The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
If you're just joining us, we are broadcasting live from Boston, Massachusetts. We are here, we've been in Toronto for the last couple of days. We're here in Boston as well with Ireland Gateway to Europe. And a member of that travelling delegation is Jason Sherlock, who is the Director of Development at the DCU Educational Trust and a former All-Ireland winner, of course, with the Dubs. Jason, a pleasure. Thanks a million for popping into us and good to see you again. So from a DCU point of view, what's the value of something like this?
Yeah, thanks, Kieran. Good to see you again. And obviously, we get to see a bit more of you nowadays. You don't just have to hear from you. So well done on all your exploits. Yeah, so I'm with the Educational Trust. So we're the fundraising office of Dublin. So I suppose for people that don't really realise, Irish universities are underfunded. They have a great reputation globally in terms of the education, the research, the innovation that our academic colleagues provide, but they're heavily underfunded. And it's never really a conversation on the door for politicians. It's never going to swing votes and stuff like that. It just happens. So I kind of see it at the cold face in terms of how underfunded universities are. So I suppose in my role in DCU, there's kind of two aspects when I look at being in Boston as part of the Gateway to Europe group. One, it gives me an opportunity to connect with our alumni that are over here, our DCU alumni. Boston is such a vibrant place. There's a lot happening. DCU has a great kind of record in terms of the life sciences, and a lot of our alumni have gone into life sciences over in Boston. So it's great to be able to see them. We also have undergrads that do a global business degree. They're actually graduating from Northeastern tomorrow. So again, to have that experience and that connection to the US is really important to them. The other side then is from multinationals. As much as we've seen all these American multinationals come into the country, they do great work in terms of supporting various charities and various educational initiatives. So we would depend and rely on a lot of multinationals to provide kind of support through their CSR programs, through their ESG programs that actually assist Irish universities in progressing. And I suppose obviously there's a lot going on and it's quite turbulent, but we see the real value of that because these companies, they're not just coming to Ireland. Obviously there's a commercial part, but they understand that they want to be part of the Irish fabric, and they do a lot of work in that capacity. Obviously it's quite turbulent at the moment with what's going on in Washington, but certainly I've seen at the coalface how important our US businesses are for Ireland and vice versa. So to be able to come across with the Gateway to Europe group, it's great. And I suppose that's the kind of the ecosystem. That's our little part of the ecosystem that the Gateway to Europe trip provides.
I was talking to a guy in Toronto when we were there who works, well, it's with a software company, but essentially what the software is putting in touch philanthropists with not-for-profits and NGOs and educational bodies as well. And I was actually asking him about that ecosystem in Canada, and he says it's about halfway between the States and Ireland, he says. You know, it's a lot of state support for these institutions like educational bodies, universities, what have you, and some big donors. Whereas, you know, Ireland, less of the big donors. Of course, DCU is the exceptions to that for a long time with Chuck Feeney and what have you. But the US then is the other end of the spectrum. It's big, big philanthropic donors keep the doors open.
Yeah, and obviously I admire and I'm envious of the American model. And like, I think if you take it from an Irish context, the first question an Irish person will ask is, where are you from in terms of county? In America, it's what university are you from? So I am envious that there's
this
natural
sports,
connection.
Maybe, don't you?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
And even golfers going out, and like Ricky Fowler famously always wearing orange, University of Phoenix or Arizona, wherever he was.
Yeah, and again, that's our identity. And I suppose it from my perspective, it's meeting our undergrads and understanding that they are a part of the DCU family, and obviously we're there to help them as much as they can, but hopefully someday they can assist DCU, because again, there's so many student initiatives that depends on philanthropic support for these students to progress.
So you want them to have graduated from DCU, they come over to the States, they soak up that philanthropic atmosphere or whatever it happens to be, and maybe direct some of their wealth, their largesse back.
Exactly. exactly. We'll always be there. We'll always be there to welcome them back.
So listen, I know you've been on this trip a number of times, and you wouldn't keep coming on it unless you were kind of getting something tangible out of it. That's fair, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And again, as I said, our role, and I've used the analogy of it, we're representing Team Ireland. We're all on the bus and we all have a different part to play. And I think full credit to the guys, Aidy and the guys that set up Gateway to Europe initially. It's a great initiative, and obviously they've had to be agile going to Toronto this year. You know, they're looking at the challenges and what's happening globally. So again, to be able to come and represent Team Ireland and have a part to play, it's very important. And the one thing that strikes me, and again, you can take it from a DCU context, you can take it from an Irish context, that the reason people do business with Ireland is the people. You know, it's the people, it's the relationships, it's the trust that Irish people have, and that's our USP, and it's important that we hold on to that and grasp that. And the way we have to kind of continue to allow that nourish is to get out here to meet people and to ensure that they know that Ireland is open for business.
I know last year you had tickets to opening day down in Fenway, but you're going to a basketball game. I'm very envious of you tonight. Let me just ask about sport while you're here then, and before we let you go. Well, let me first ask about just kind of the football championship thus far. Big shock to the Dubs, of course, falling to Meath down in Port Laois a few weeks ago. What have you made of the new rules?
Yeah, I think I'd start on the basis that from a supporter, from a coach and from a player, something needed to change. And I think the principle of changing the rules, I think it was definitely the right time. I think, and I might be biased, but I think they got the best man in to run it. And again, the amount of dialogue and consultation to kind of get something through in the GAA, it's a minefield at the best of times. And I think the committee that were involved, I think they did a great job. I think the game certainly as a spectacle it looks a lot more attractive. However, I suppose there are certain pieces that probably don't fit my eye, but that's sport, you know. I suppose I'm a traditionalist in the sense that when I played I love scoring goals, and I know the guys wanted to put a premium on goals in terms of the 4 points, but now that's back to 3 and we have the 2-pointer, and I think it looks a bit like Olympic handball to me at the moment, where everyone is setting up around the arc. But maybe that'll play out, you know. Maybe as coaches and players figure things out, we will get some really exciting goal scoring chances. But I think the principle of the new rules was really positive, and full credit to the players and the managers. They didn't get much time to kind of bed them down.
No.
But in true GAA fashion, they're getting on with it, and we're seeing some great games. You only have to look at the weekend and the Connacht final to see we're getting some great games already.
You mentioned kind of the way it was implemented. I know you did an MBA as well, and I could see how Jim Gavin implemented this change, kind of being taught in university courses in years to come. It was kind of remarkable. Whatever people think about the rules, and even if you kind of reject that anything needed to be done, the process that was put in place to convince people of change, or the need for change and the implementation of it, I mean, was remarkable on some level, wasn't it? How he did it.
Yeah, and I think some people tend to forget that he had a certain mandate to make GAA the most exciting field game in the world. You know, there are a lot of things wrong with GAA, or challenges with GAA in terms of structures and fixtures and all that, but that was not in his mandate. You know, that wasn't in his remit. So he's been working to make the game as attractive as he can, and I think they've done a great job. And obviously, hopefully, there is that fluidity and flexibility to kind of tinker with a few things that are just kind of, they're just not fit for purpose, or maybe there are challenges that arrive when you think you've made a solution, it comes up with other challenges. So full credit to what they've done so far.
So are we writing off the Dubs this year?
Ah, oh, you'd have to.
look at that.
No, I think from a Dublin perspective, we've had a lot of success and we knew it wasn't going to last forever. We also wanted to see a competitive Meath, competitive Kildare team, competitive province, so we can't give out when we get that. But the one thing from a Dublin perspective, obviously I'm sure there's a lot of pride hurt at the moment. It's early enough in the season that they can respond. They have a really interesting group now in the next stage of the competition, so obviously they won't have a chance to kind of rest on their laurels, but it'll be a great test of them to see if they can progress, because at this stage they're written off, which is not a bad way to be when it comes into the championship.
Yeah, well, listen, The, the new rules notwithstanding, change comes dropping slowly often in our associations, and one suspects another exception is going to be the Scorts with Camogie, because I know the story today is that in Munster, Cork are playing Waterford this weekend. Both sets of teams say they're going to wear shorts, and if they're asked to leave the field and the game's going to be abandoned, they're going to let the game be abandoned. And then the Dublin Camogie County Board today breaking ranks with the Camogie Association and saying they've issued an instruction to referees to say let the players wear shorts. One suspects the era of the Scort is coming to an end pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, you won't have much disagreement from this side of the table, and I think full credit to the players. They're taking initiative. It's their careers, it's their time, and they're making the most of that, and I think they'll certainly have the support of the public.
Yeah, brave of them last weekend, the Dubs and the Kilkenny players, to go out on the pitch and to take that stand, wasn't it?
It's hard to believe they had to. But we are where we are, and full credit to them. And as I said, I can only give them my support.
Yeah, listen, one suspects, yeah, they're going to have to come out the Camogie Association and just echo that instruction to referees from the Dublin Camogie County Board before the weekend. Anyway, Jason, been a real pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us. Enjoy the basketball as well. Jason Sherlock, former All-Ireland winner, of course, Director of Development at the DCU Educational Trust.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.